Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to finish this chapter. First Chronicles 29. Then King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now with all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony, and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. And moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I've already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings, of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" Then the rulers of the father's households and princes of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds with the overseers over the king's work offered willingly. And for the service for the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build a temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. And on the next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, and their libations and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank that day before the Lord with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king a second time, and they anointed him as ruler for the Lord and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the officials, the mighty men, and all of the sons of King David pledged allegiance to King Solomon. And the Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him royal majesty, which had not been on any king before him in Israel. Now David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the period which he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years and in Jerusalem 33 years. Then he died in a ripe old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and his son Solomon reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David, from first to last, are written in the chronicles of Samuel the seer, in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and the chronicles of Gad the seer. And with all his reign, his power, and the circumstances which came on him, on Israel and all the kingdoms of the land. Amen. So we go back to the last preparation that David's making for his son and for the temple. And so he starts off and he starts talking about his son. Now, generally speaking, in this time of other kings, when a young king, a very young king, a child, became king in place of the father, it meant really, really bad news. And if you look through Babylonian history, the history of the Philistines, the Amorites, you go through all that, you find that whenever there was a child king, it actually meant disaster for the people during that time, generally speaking. But that's not so with Solomon. And he becomes the exception to this rule. Because under Solomon, they had peace all around. And if you remember a few chapters before, we talked about that, when God said, you know, David, you're not going to be the one that builds. It's going to be your son Solomon. Because Solomon is a type of Christ. Remember, he is foreshadowing the Prince of Peace that's going to come. And so he becomes that type of Christ. And the temple itself is a place of peace. So it obviously has to be built by a man of peace. It just kind of makes sense in that way. And so that's the whole backdrop of David not building the temple. Because there's something more prophetic and more glorious of what this is going to symbolize. And so we are introduced now to a concept that was around, but wasn't really practiced that often. And it's the idea of the free will offering. So if you remember, throughout the Israelites, there were offerings, but they were very, very specific. There was a sin offering. There was a guilt offering. There was a thanksgiving offering. There were so many different things that they were very specified to offer different things. Now, for the first time, we see it coming out in the fullness of this idea of the free will offering. In other words, you didn't have to give anything. There was no tithe, or your tithe had already been taken place. And remember, the Israelite tithe is not just 10%. If you actually go through all these things, it sums up to roughly about 30% or so. I don't have time to get into it all right now. But this is the free will offering. And so he comes out and he says, I've done all these things. I prepared all of this stuff. And then he, as a leader, he leads first. Okay, this is a really, really good lesson on leadership. And if you want to instill something in your people, you do it first, right? That's the key to this whole thing. As a leader, a house church leader, as a pastor or a ministry leader, outreach leader, whatever it may be, whatever you do, whatever behavior that you want to see in your people, you do it first. You lead by example, and then out of that place, great things will happen. I remember years ago, and I was meeting with Ed Silvoso, you know, the president of Harvest Evangelism. And Ed, just this really amazing, wise man. And he sat, and it was a bunch of us young leaders. And I remember during our time, he turned to me, and he was talking to all of us, and he said, Sam, he said, don't motivate, model. Don't motivate, model. And it was like some of the wisest words that I'd heard. I was a youth pastor during that time. And I'm honestly, I was really good at motivating people. You know, I mean, that was like, that was a skill that I had no one needed to teach me that thing. But it was the key. Don't motivate, model. In other words, show people first. Do it first before anything else. And probably only Nate and Ken would have been around back in the days when we started SP. But when we saw, you know, with that in mind, these guys will remember. You know, when we did SP, you know who was the chief chair setter-upper? It was me. You know who vacuumed the carpets every Sunday before or after? It was me, right? You know who did the sound? I actually was a sound man. It was me. I did everything but lead worship, right? And then I came up and did announcements, and then I preached, I did the offering. It was like a one-man show. I don't necessarily recommend that, but in the beginning of our church, it was important that I'm going to model what it means to be a son of this house. And it's that principle still lays out in all the things that we do. You know, one of the things that I have in my heart that I try to share with our staff all the time is, don't ask someone to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. It's really simple, right? You know, if you're not willing to do it yourself, don't ask anyone else to do it. That's just slavery in that regard. And so, so he starts off first. This is his blessing, the free will offering, and he gives 3,000 talents of gold, but not just regular gold, the gold of Ophir, which is considered at that time the best gold that you could find, the purest gold that you could find. It's kind of like, do you remember all throughout the cedars of Lebanon? This were particular wood, it was the best wood that they could find. And so he gives out these things. And then, because of his generosity and his example, the people come up and say, oh, my king's doing this thing, I'm going to do this thing. And this is like a giving festival. This is this beautiful, and people are so rejoicing. Look at verse 9. And the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they had made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Isn't that awesome? You know, like I know that for some of you guys that have been around along, you know, when we take offering, we've taught our people to clap and to cheer. And when we first started doing that, because offering is a part of worship, and this is it's a joy to give to the Lord. And so when I first started teaching the church these principles, and we started first in the beginning, people were cheering really well. You know, like it was like, yeah, it's offering time. Now it's kind of like, you know, it's the obligatory, like, okay, someone's clapping, or maybe I should clap too. You know, I don't really know what's going on. And so, I mean, it wanes in that way, but this is the heart of why we do what we do in that regard. They were so happy. They were so full of joy that they get to give to the Lord. Remember in the New Testament, Paul will write to us and he says, God loves a cheerful giver. This has to be the proof text of what this is about. And you can imagine God is so blessed, you know, through this. Let me just lay out some numbers for you, okay, to give you an idea. If you remember the first time, David says, I had prepared already. In the this is 1 Chronicles chapter 22, when he's announcing the temple, he says, I had already been made making preparations. At that time, he had prepared according to our numbers today, $2.5 billion worth of gold. That is an astronomical amount of money. $1.7 billion worth of silver. Now, he does his own offering here in this part. David offers $82 million worth of gold and $12 million worth of silver. The congregation, the rulers, they come up with, and their free will offering, they give $125 million of gold and $17 million of silver. I mean, these guys were laying down some bank. You know what I mean? This wasn't chump change that they were putting out. I mean, $125 million worth of gold. David's a king, so he's got all these resources. These are just, you know, other small rulers, commanders, princes, and all these things. And in total, the money or the gold, this is just gold and silver. They had prepared for the Lord $4.5 billion. Can you believe that? $4.5 billion with the gold and silver for the house of God. That is amazing when you think about. And so the generosity that was flowing, these guys were so full of love for God. They were so grateful for what God had given to them. And David gets to the heart. So he goes through his prayer. He gets to the heart of why they were able to do this. And quite honestly, You will not be a generous person if you don't also have this foundation working inside of you. And it's really simple. He basically says, if you go down from verse 14 down, he basically says, all this is yours anyway. The second thing he says is, we are just sojourners. In other words, I'll use Paul's language now, we are just aliens. In other words, this is not our home. We are on our way somewhere else. Paul will talk about, though we see things, temporally, but we are citizens of heaven. We look for those things that are eternal. If you live your life in such a way that this is your home, what you have is all that you have, and that you earned it yourself, you worked hard, you did it yourself, you'll never be a generous person. Because there's no reason for you to give or in any of those respects. But when you really deeply understand in your heart of hearts that this is not your home, that actually everything that I have belongs to the Lord, it changes you. It absolutely changes you. I remember when I was a non-Christian, you guys know, I was a business major, business administration. I'm at this new university, this Christian university. And this is after I actually had already started two businesses. And so I'm enrolling in school, and I thought, I should go to the business club. And there was a business club at this university. And I went, and the advisor of the club, which, who's this management guru guy, and he tells us, the first thing he tells us is, I want everyone to know, when we're talking about, business and wealth and all these things, I want you all to know that nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. And, that's a very novel concept to me as a non-believer, because I think everything belongs to me. I worked hard for everything that I have. And he said that everything belongs to God. The question is, I remember very specifically, the real question is not how much you're going to give, but how much you're going to keep. And it totally reframed this idea of finances, wealth, all these things. Now, I have to be honest and say, it took me many years down the road to understand that later on, particularly when I became a Christian and I realized that it's true, God really is the greatest giver in the fact that he gave us his son. But if you, in your heart of hearts, and this is where we all need to do a heart check in this way, if you believe that the job that you have is because you work so hard, you earned it. The degree, your education, all these things is because of you. You're a hard worker, you're smart, you're all that stuff. You will not be a generous giver. Oh, you'll give, out of religious duty. You'll give because, there's something inside of every single one of us that can be nice at certain times, but you'll never step into generosity. And in that way, you will never be a cheerful giver in that regard. You have to recognize, like David said, actually, he says, look, verse 16, O Lord God, all this abundance that we have provided to build a house for you, for your holy name, it actually came from you, and all is yours. It's like, all the parents would know this. You know, when you have little kids and it's Father's Day or it's your birthday, your kids give you a present, but it's actually you paid for it. You know what I mean? It's like, like we give our kids a little bit of money to buy presents for mom and dad, but it's like, and God, like I'm happy though. It's not like, thanks, man, I pay for it myself. I'm so joyed that my kids would go do something, make something, buy something, even though I paid for it in that regard. And that's what David's saying. He's actually, God, you pay for it yourself. He's like, because humankind, look what we did, God. We built this huge house for you, and we're prone to do that out of our pride. But David has a very clear idea. It actually came from your hand. The abundance, this free will offering that we're really rejoicing about right now and doing, actually, it came from you. And so we're just really just giving it back to you in that regard. When you really, really get that in your spirit, you will walk in generosity your whole life. And the beauty of that is that when you walk in that, you will never have want. You will never lack a thing. I'm serious. You will always walk in fruitfulness. There'll be so much blessing that, you know, that pours out into our lives. And, you know, and people will ask us sometimes, you know, P-Sam, why is there so much favor on your life? You know, why are people always trying to do things for you? And, you know, and our staff knows, right? I have this crazy, like, this free anointing. People just give me stuff. It's just really weird, right? It's just, I just get stuff for free all the time. And it's just one of those things. And people say, well, how does that work? What's going on here? And there's no secret behind that. It's just simply that my wife and I, we've practiced generosity ever since we became Christians. And as a result, because of that, you'll never lack for anything. Never lack for anything. And so it's so important for us to keep that in mind. But if you see, if you don't have that inside, you're going to give grudgingly. It's going to be white-fisted giving. You know what I mean? In that regard. But it says here, I mean, can you imagine this party that they're rejoicing at? They're filled with such joy. God, Lord, I can't believe you blessed me so much that I could give to you. You know, most of the time we think, oh, Lord, I can't believe you blessed me so much so I could spend everything on myself. You know, so I can, you know, have these expensive things and all this stuff. I mean, nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. You know, but it's such a difference. It's like, Lord, I can't believe you blessed me so much that I could give to you. Totally different. That's the spirit of generosity that's at work. And you could see the atmosphere. And what a great father. I mean, David was a horrible father. Let's just really be honest, right? But at the end here, what a great father to pass, I mean, double portion onto his son before he leaves. He makes sure the kingdom is at peace. He makes sure that everything is prepared for the building of the temple. And then, don't you love this? Verse 28. By the way, this is how I want to die. I hope this is how you want to die. You know, then he died in a ripe old age, full of days. In other words, he lived the fullness of his life in that way. Riches and honor, and then his son Solomon reigned in his place. Now, I'm not thinking that Andrew is going to be the next senior pastor. So outside of that, right? You know, it was pretty amazing. Riches and honor, ripe old age, full of days. That's the way I want to die, right? I don't know about you guys. Like, I don't want to be hiking and like fall off the cliff. You know, this is tragic. You know, or be in a car accident. I want to die like David died. Died a ripe old age, full of days, riches and honor, and then his children were set up. That's you know, when we talk about sonship, that's really the heart of sonship, which is generational transfer. And you see how that happens. This is so beautiful. And then we conclude. I should just make a quick note. In 22 it says, and they made Solomon the son of David king a second time. Do you remember the first time was, remember, Adonijah's rebellion, his conspiracy? It's 1 Kings, if you go way back. And so they hastily set him up because of Adonijah. So this is now the official, that's why it says second time, so I don't want you to get confused. Okay, so let's close our eyes. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Particularly this idea of generosity. Are you a cheerful giver? See, I'm not talking about amounts. Amounts don't really matter. Remember? It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. The widow put two copper mites. Actually, the mites translated as feathers. They were actually the lowest denomination. So it's not about amounts. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. Do we give cheerfully? And I would make a suggestion to us. If we don't, I think there's something in your heart that you need to deal with. Maybe there's a pride of life. Maybe there's a deep-seated selfishness. Maybe there's not a revelation that everything that you have comes from Him. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today about our attitude in giving. Now, this assumes that you are giving. If you're not, that's a whole nother sermon for another time. But are we cheerful givers before the Lord?
Thank you.
Let's pray this morning. If we sense there's anything in our heart that really does not lead us into cheerful giving, that could be an invitation. It is an invitation from the Holy Spirit to allow Him to go deeper inside of us, to reconcile some things, some biblical truths, with the way that we live our lives. And I just want to encourage you to just go before the Lord and just begin to pray. Let's pray over our community. They're battling through cancers and going through therapies. Keep in mind, we got a message this morning that Calvin's been having a lot of stomach problems, a lot of pain in his stomach, and his fever is going up. And so let's pray they'll be controlled. They moved up to a little higher dosage, a more powerful dosage in this next round. And so let's just pray that the fever would go down and that his stomach would relax from the treatment. And so he's in the hospital right now going through the chemo. And so let's just particularly lift him up, and let's lift up all of our friends that are battling. Let's pray for God's healing touch. Pray for our community that are battling through illness and but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for our chief executive, Carrie Lam, and all the leaders, that they would rule righteously here. Let's pray against the wealth gap, and let's really cry out for revival in this city. Pray for the churches and our friends here. Pray for sports services, the Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christianity Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, and continue to lift up Hong Kong students. Pray for domestic helpers and particularly families in distress and their children. Let's lift up this city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to lead and guide, that we'd operate out of a spirit of wisdom and revelation. If we could particularly pray over Rachel and for her kids, that they, you know, they've been in and out of sickness for like the last month. And let's just pray that God would just really bring His healing word over them. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for our welcoming and our barista. Let's pray that they would really create this atmosphere of warmth and personal touch, especially as visitors, guests would come into the church. Let's just pray for that atmosphere. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams, and let's pray for a real heart of worship. We pray for our leaders, that they would be worshiping privately before they lead publicly. And let's just pray, cover all of our equipment, pray for God would really give us more skill when it comes to these things, and that He would really have His way with us. Let's pray for House Church tonight. First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, Soho, and Westville. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. This is the last House Church of the season. Let's pray that they would finish well. Our leaders be full of wisdom. All of our members would just really have a deep love for God and for one another. Let's lift up. Thank you. Let's pray for our retreat coming up this weekend. Pray for Friday night service. Pray for Saturday. Cover all the logistics. Let's just pray RT and Bobby get here safely. RT is coming tomorrow. Pray for a safe flight for him and his wife, Louise. And let's just pray the Holy Spirit would have his way with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the reminder, God, that we should walk in generosity, Lord, because it all came from you anyway. And so us giving to you, God, is really a reflection of just that knowledge that it's all yours. And so would you teach us individually, would you teach us as a church, Lord, to be cheerful givers, God? We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. Help us to give you glory in all that we do and say. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.